scripture this morning be from 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Reading from the New King James Version. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. Amen. As I looked at this scripture, there's a reason for me to deal with this scripture. As I sat this morning and Deacon McClure read from 1 John, the first chapter, the first seven verses, and he stopped at verse 7, and I'm going to pick up at verse 8. I said, wow, look at God. Amen. Look at God, look at God, look at God. So we thank God for his word. We thank God for his word. Now, and there's a reason why I went to this scripture the other day. There was a movie that came out this past week. It didn't come out mainstream, but it's a Netflix movie and came out on Netflix. And the movie's called Come Sunday. Come Sunday. I was in ministers meeting this week and they were talking about it, and then a couple of ministers and a couple of people were talking about it outside of that meeting, and I figured I better go ahead and deal with it. Amen. This movie about Come Sunday is a movie about Bishop Carlton Pearson. I don't know if you all know who that is. Some of you do. It's about Bishop Carlton Pearson, and this morning we had talked about it a little bit, and Reverend Demerson put Carlton Pearson on CD this morning. I said, all right now. But this was before this time that we're dealing with now. He was a Pentecostal preacher. Also, he was a music artist. Amen. So he had put out several CDs of praise and worship music, very good music. But then something happened, and that's what I want to talk about today. Carlton Pearson had a belief, or he felt that God had spoke to him, and he believed that God was telling him that there is no hell, and that Christ died for the whole world, and there was no need for salvation because everyone is already saved. And it was a subject of a lot of conversation this week, and I figured I better, before it kind of filters in over here, I better start talking about it before it gets here. Amen. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it, but we want to kind of straighten that out. Amen. So this movie is about how he got this belief and how he came about to believe this, and how he preached it, and half his majority of his congregation left him, and a lot of things happened because of that. But they shared the story. So I want to share it also. Amen. First of all, let me just deal with this scripture. The scripture again deals with Christ and how he died for our sins. Amen. Amen. 1 John 2 says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. Amen. And he took from that there was no hell. Can I just tell you that there's actually three words in scripture for the word hell. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. The subject of my lesson tonight is today is going to be the advocacy of Christ. the advocacy of Christ. Amen. There are actually three words for hell in the scripture. Sheol. And Sheol occurs in the Old Testament about 65 times. In 31 cases, it's in the Authorized Version, this word is rendered hell. And it's the place of disembodied spirits. That's Sheol. That's the Hebrew word. Amen. In the Greek word Hades, which is found in the New Testament, has the same scope and the same significance as Sheol of the Old Testament. And Hades is where the righteous and the wicked are separated. Are you with me? The blessed dead are in that part of Hades called paradise, and we talked about paradise as we dealt with some of the scriptures when we saw how the rich man and Lazarus, amen, died, and one went to the very depths of Hades and one was in paradise. It's a separation between the righteous, amen. And it's separated from the blessed of our dead and those who don't know God. And it's also said that they are in the bosom of Abraham. And that's, and we're talking about Hades. And then the other word is Gehenna. Gehenna. And Gehenna is in the most of its occurrences is in the Greek Testament, talks about the designation of the lost or the place of the lost. The place of the lost. And then, now this is Gehenna, which also means hell. This place is described in scriptures where there will be a furnace of fire. Amen. And where there will be, the inhabitants will be subject to eternal gnashing and wailing, eternal wailing and gnashing of teeth. Amen. This scripture refers to it many times, and it is real. It is real. Hell is real. The scripture refers to it many times. So you need to believe, you need to understand that it is real. It is real. Is that right? It's a place where there will be an eternal separation from God. So Pearson, he believed that the very voice from God indicated to him that everyone was saved, and because of that, no one would go to hell. Amen. And we need to understand that that's not what the scripture said. The scripture did not say that everyone is saved. I just want to let you know. I want to let you know that first of all, there is heaven, and we ought to believe in heaven. Amen. And just like there is heaven, there is hell, and we need to believe that also. Amen. And the scripture teaches us there is a separation between the two. Amen. And nowhere in the scripture does it say that everyone, amen, will get a free pass and go to heaven. Are you with me? Are you with me? The scripture talks about it too many times for us not to believe that. It's real. It's real. And so Pearson based his argument on this scripture. He based his argument on this scripture. And this is where he lost a large part of his congregation and where he lost his credibility and his standing, because he refused to believe the truth. Everybody need to know that the Bible is true. You know, I said to some folks one time when I used to teach in seminary, I kind of messed some folks up a little bit, because I told them that everything in the Bible is true, but not everything in the Bible is the truth. And they kind of messed them up. They said, what do you mean everything is true, but everything's not the truth? Well, it's true that the devil said in Genesis, when he told Eve, Adam and Eve, that you surely would not die, that you don't have to listen to God. It's true that he said that, but that wasn't the truth. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? Are you with me? Amen. So we need to understand as we read through the Bible that the word is true. There is truth in the Bible, but there is, you can rest assured that the truth is that there is heaven and there is hell. That is truth. It's true and it is truth. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. So Pearson kind of got hung up on this scripture, and that's why I want to deal with it, and I want to talk about the advocacy of Christ. Amen. So the scripture starts out, it says, my little children, These things I write to you. What things? What things, John? What things are you writing? And he said, these things I write to you in order to that you may have fellowship with Christ. Amen. He's writing these things. If you go back, it says, I'm writing these things because so in order that you have fellowship with Christ and that we will not walk in darkness. That's what the deacon read this morning. That we may have fellowship with Christ and not walk in darkness. And it also says, it goes a little further, amen, in verse 8 of 1 John says, and if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, amen, and the truth is not in us, amen. That's 1 John 1 and 8, amen, 1 John 1 and 8. And then if you go to 1 John 1 and 9, amen, it says, amen, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. That's why he said, these things I write to you. Letting us know, he reminds us that if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come on, somebody. Then he said in 1 John verse 10, he said, and if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Amen. See, this is what you can't pass by that and just jump to the fact that Jesus died for our sin. He's first of all teaching us that he does not want us to sin. And that we are all sinners saved by grace. Come on, somebody. Amen. You know, folks used to get upset when somebody called you a sinner. Amen. But let me tell you something. We are all sinners. But the difference is we have been saved by grace. Amen. We fell short of his glory a long time ago. Amen. We were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. Amen. We are sinners, but we have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. See that now I'm gonna tell you, I'm being serious now. I know I kid with you sometimes about shouting word, but that is definitely something you ought to shout about, because when y'all think about where I used to be, if I think about the things that I did, if I think about the thing where I was lost in sin, but he died for me, somebody ought to shout. Somebody here was messed up in so much stuff, amen, that it's just a miracle, it's a blessing that you were even able to walk in this place today, amen. Somebody ought to wave at me. But you were able to come in because Jesus died for you and forgave you of your sin, and his gracious mercy, his mercy brought you out of that situation and made you a little bit better, and he died for your sin. Amen, amen. So that's why John said, he said, little children, these things I write to you. That's why he said, I'm writing you these things to remind you of this situation, to remind you of what you came from, to remind you of how Jesus Christ died for you. Amen. Come on. Jesus wrote these things not to give us license to sin, but that in order that we would not sin. Amen. He didn't write these things to give you permission to sin, but he wrote these things in order that you would not sin. Is that right? And John was referring to the habitual sins as well as the single acts of sin. In other words, the things, he's not just talking about the things that he didn't want you to do over. We got, some people get caught up and they don't do things over and over and over. He was talking about that, but he was also talking about the single acts of sins. Amen. And you do know that all sin is sin. There's no big sin, no little sin. Sin is sin.
Come on now. Say it again.
I wish I had somebody this morning. So in verse 4, he said, and now that word and means furthermore. Somebody say furthermore.
Furthermore.
Furthermore. Furthermore. He said, furthermore, in addition to, if anyone sins, we have an advocate. Amen. Furthermore, and if anyone does sin, we have an advocate.
Come on now.
I need to say that one more time. Furthermore, and if we do sin, if we should sin, if by chance we sin, if you get caught in sin, we do have an advocate. Can I just tell you what an advocate is? An advocate. Amen. In the Greek, that word is parakletos. Parakletos, parakletos. Now, parakletos is referring to, when he said we have an advocate, he was talking about Jesus. And when he was talking about Jesus, he said Jesus is our parakletos. And what that parakletos refers to, it's referring to Jesus Christ, who is our substitutionary intercessor. He is the one that pleads for us and pleads our cause to God. Y'all don't hear what I'm talking about. When he said he is our advocate, what he's trying to say, he is the substitutionary intercessor. In other words, he's the one who will be substituted for your sin. This is some scripture we really need to shout on. Because when I think about all the things that I did, amen, I could not pay the price. Amen. I don't care how much you have in your bank account, you cannot pay the price of sin. And Jesus died up on the cross. Jesus gave him life. He paid the ransom for you. He's a substitute. He's the one who's pleading your case before God. Let me tell you, goodness and mercy, justice says that you ought to die. Justice said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. Sin, the wages. And I know y'all know what wages are. I got some workers here. Now, can I just talk about wages just for a second? Amen. I know I got some workers in this place. I got some folks been retired. But they've been on the job. Amen. I know everybody here know about wages. Amen. And let me tell you something. If you go on your job 40 hours a week, amen, and come Friday, come payday, and you walk up in that in the office and they say, we don't have no money for you. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You work your 40 hours or whatever it is you work your 40 hours, and you expect to get your wages that you earn. You earn those wages, and come pay that, you stand in the line, I want my pay. Yeah. And don't sit there, and you gonna tell me you don't have my pay? Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. I know all of us Christians, but that's when you're gonna start speaking in an unknown tongue. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen. You want your wage. But there's one wage. There's one wage that we're not standing in line to collect. The Bible says the wages of sin, the payment for sin, is death. Amen. And we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But I don't see anybody standing in line and say, Lord, I want my wages. Hello? But it's good to know that 1 John said, but if we do sin, we have an advocate who is Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our advocate. He is our advocate. He is our advocate. Amen. And that advocate again means he's a substitutionary intercessor. He's the one who pleads to us to plead our case for God. And understand that the parakletos, or the paraclete, I'm giving y'all a little Greek here. The parakletos, or the paraclete, refers to the Holy Spirit. Amen. The paraclete is different from the parakletos. Amen. The paraclete is the Holy Spirit, because the paraclete acts as a substitute for Christ when he's away. The parakletos, Jesus, acts as a substitute for us, but the paraclete is the Holy Spirit, who acts as a substitute when Jesus is away. So when Jesus left, he said, I'm going to leave you a paraclete. I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave you one who's going to be there. You may not, I'm going away, and you won't see me for a little while, but I'm going to leave someone here. I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave you a company keeper, and he is the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen for the Holy Spirit. And he's going to be there as a substitute for Christ. So in the text here, it refers to Christ himself, who acts as, it's not talking about the Holy Spirit in this text. He's talking about Jesus Christ himself, who will act as a substitute for us. And that means he will stand before God and defend us before God. He's an attorney, he's a lawyer, whatever you want to call. He's standing there and defending us before God. Amen. Because when justice says, when God, the hand of justice said that man, that woman should die, Jesus said, wait a minute, God. That one belongs to me. Wait a minute, God. That one is one of the ones who believes in me. That's one of the ones who've been serving me. That's one who is accepting me as their Lord and Savior, and I will be their substitute.
Right.
Come on, somebody. One day somebody gonna shout.
Right.
So the scripture says, and if we should sin, we have an advocate, which is Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation. Oh, that's a big word. He himself is the propitiation. Can I talk about propitiation? And this is when it starts getting good. He is a propitiation, amen. And as a propitiation, that means he is the sacrifice for all. That means he died for all. That means he died for the whole world. Amen. Amen. And this is where Pearson got messed up, because he got hung up on that word whole world. He got hung up on the whole world, and he figured, since, amen, that the scripture said that he died for the whole world, that means everybody. He died for those who were saved, those who didn't believe. He died for those who didn't believe in Jesus, the Hindus, Muslims, the Jews, whatever. He said, but that's not what it said. Now, let's separate propitiation, that word propitiation, from that word advocate. Advocate. Now, when he said he is propitiation means he sacrificed for all. He died for all. He died for the whole world. Now, and Jesus really did die for the whole world. He really did die for the whole world. Amen. He may have died for the whole world, but the whole world must accept him in order that they receive his advocacy. See, that's the difference. That's what he didn't teach. That's where he got messed up. He died for the whole world, but the whole world does not benefit from his advocacy until they first accept him as the Lord and Savior. Y'all with me? Come on, somebody. And unless you have the benefit of his advocacy, you lose the advantage of the propitiation. Let me say that one more time. Unless you have the benefit of his advocacy, which means you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and that that's when he will advocate against for you. He will advocate for you, but you don't have the benefit of his advocacy until you believe in him, till you accept him, till you make him your Lord, till you say, I confess Jesus, till you say, I believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, until you say, I want to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, I want to be baptized in the name of the Son, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Until you do that, you do not receive the advocacy. Amen. So unless you have the benefit of his advocacy, then you will lose the advantage of the propitiation. Y'all getting it? Can I say that one more time? Except unless you have the benefit of his advocacy, you lose the advantage of his propitiation. In other words, when you have his advocacy of the fact that he will defend you, but you can only get that if you believe in it. If you don't have his defense, if you don't have him defending you, then you lose the advantage of him dying for you. Did that make it plain?
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't accept him as your Lord and Savior, you lose the advantage of him dying on the cross for you. He died on the cross for the whole world. He died on the cross so that everyone should believe. But if you don't believe, you lose the advantage of the propitiation. You lose the advantage of the fact that he died on the cross.
Yeah. All right.
See, that's where he missed the mark. So that's the thing is, he is the sacrifice. He sacrificed for all, but everyone has to believe in order to receive the benefits, the advantage of the sacrifice. I said it three or four different ways. I can't say it anything else. I can't say it any other way. In other words, he paid the price for the whole world, but you have to believe and accept him in order to cash it in. I can say it one more way that maybe y'all can relate to. The Gaming Commission puts it like this: you got to be in it to win it. Yeah, I went down somebody's neighborhood that time. You gotta be in it to win it. In other words, although everyone, even the whole world, has the opportunity, amen, to receive the propitiation, it does no good if you don't have the advocacy of Christ. It does no good to have the propitiation, the death, the burial, the sacrifice, if you do not believe in Christ. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to accept Jesus Christ. You have to accept him as your Lord and say, then and only then will he be the advocate for you. And the advocate is the one that will go in the court for you. The advocate is the one who will stand for you. The advocate is the one who will plead your case. The advocate is the one who said, wait a minute, God, don't kill this one because he belongs to me. Let him live and have eternal life. That is why the scripture said, therefore God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. Is there anybody here who has eternal life? Let me tell you something. That's a trick question, because we all going to have eternal life. But you can either spend it in glory or you can spend it in hell. And there is a hell because the Bible says so. I know I'm right about it. I know I'm right about it. But you first have to believe in Jesus Christ. You have to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You got to believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You have to make him your Lord and your Savior. You have to call upon his name. By his name, every knee shall bow. By his name, every tongue shall confess. By his name, things will change. By his name, everybody will see a breakthrough. By his name, anybody know the name? His name is Jesus. He is our advocate. He is the one, he is our burden bearer and our heavy load sharer. He is our comforter. Jacob said he's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I'm so glad about it. I'm glad that he's everything. And just to make sure I know he's everything, he said, I am that I am. And what does that mean when Christ says, I am that I am? He said, that means whatever you need, I am. If you need food on the table, I am food. If you need clothes on your back, I am clothes. If you need somebody to go your wet bell, I am the bell bondsman. Whatever you need. If you need a lawyer in the courtroom, he said, I am. If you need a doctor, he says, I am. If you need a surgeon, I am. If you need a banker, I am. Is there anybody know that he is everything? Whatever you need. But you gotta believe, you gotta accept, you gotta say, Lord, I claim you. Lord, I love you. Lord, you are my all and my all. I can't live without you. I can't move without you. I can't breathe without you. I can't do anything without you. Is there anybody here who knows my Jesus lives? He's my holy redeemer. He's my bright and morning star. He's everything that I need. He's all that I need. He's all that I need. He died up on the cross. They put him in a borrowed tomb. They placed him there. He stayed there all day Friday, all night Friday night, all day Saturday, all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he got up. That's the propitiation. The propitiation was that he died and he went up to heaven to sit at God the Father. But let me tell you something. I got the propitiation. I got the sacrifice. But unless you believe, you don't get the advocacy. And the propitiation, he died for the whole world. That's the propitiation. But the propitiation doesn't do any good without the advocacy. And you can't have the advocacy if you don't believe. You don't have the advocacy if you don't accept them. And let me tell you this, and I'm through. The sad thing about that is, he gave the propitiation. He died. He sacrificed. He gave the propitiation. But too many are being lost because they have not, amen, accepted him to receive the advocacy. See, you got to have both. That's why Pearson was messed up. He didn't look at that whole thing. You can't have, amen, you can't have the propitiation without the advocacy. So I thank God for the advocacy of Christ. God bless you.